You're listening to the Eagles Insider Podcast. Now here's your host, Chris McPherson.
Love that intro. Welcome everyone to the Eagles Insider Podcast. Yes, I am Chris McPherson, joined alongside by my main man, Alex Smith.
C-Mac, how are we feeling today?
I'm excited. The preseason finale is here. You might be listening to this after the fact, but we are recording this on the eve of the Eagles-Jets showdown at Lincoln Financial Field.
I like the fourth preseason game. The starters don't play, sure, but you know what? For some of these guys, it's their last chance. You know, it's fun. Eagles-Jets has kind of become, can you call it a rivalry? The fourth preseason game?
It is.
For the 16th straight year they're playing
each other? Is it 16?
It is 16, dating back to 2001.
That's amazing. And the man behind the glass in the booth, Ricky Shue. How you feeling, baby? He's doing good.
Thumbs up.
Giving the thumbs up. So we want to thank everyone out there for the support and the feedback from our last podcast with John Dornbos. Just truly inspirational story. He and his aunt slash mom, Susan Hyman, phenomenal people, a remarkable story, and we were just happy to be able to share it
with everyone absolutely. Out there.
So this week, we have a special guest in store. I'm really excited. This was a fun interview. Bo Allen. We talk about the fourth preseason game. Bo, entering his third NFL season, will be featured in the game. A huge asset for the defensive line rotation the last couple of years. He's played in every single game since he was a seventh-round pick
out
of Wisconsin.
Pick.
A lot of people were wondering how he would transition from the 3-4 scheme to the 4-3. He's probably had, I would say, one of the most under-the-radar training camps. He was a key cog of the line last year. But I think it's no question, you're going to have Fletcher Cox, you're going to have Benny Logan. But I think Bo Allen is going to be a big part of helping them maximize their potential by being able to step in there and not miss a beat in Jim Schwartz's defense.
Yeah, he's done a really nice job. I think he had a sack in the Colts game. He's just showing up every time that he's out there. Just a fun guy off the field. And as you mentioned, C-Mac, a seventh-round pick. You know, a lot of those guys sometimes don't even end up making the roster out of camp. You'll see them end up on a practice squad or whatever it may be. But Bo's found a way to work his way into the lineup and to stay there, to stay in that rotation. So it's a story of a guy who, not very heralded coming into the draft, wasn't sure if he was even going to be drafted. But he's done a really nice job, and he's gotten better and better every year. And a guy who looked like he was just going to be a nose tackle in that 3-4 scheme and he'd have a tough time adjusting to the 4-3. That hasn't been the case.
No whatsoever. So later on in the show, we're going to hear from his mom, Susie, who is a breast cancer survivor. A remarkable tale and a great interview. I had a lot of fun talking with Susie, and we're going to have a great anecdote about Bo, which is something that
I wish we would have known it before we talked to Bo.
Yes.
To bring it up with him. But either way, still a really fun story to know.
Yeah, but first, our conversation with defensive tackle Bo Allen. We're going to talk about growing up in Minnesota, his love for American flag clothing, who is the best at Rock Band, and how Bo Allen has turned into a television commercial star here in the Philadelphia area. All that more coming up right now. Bo, welcome to the podcast.
Gentlemen, thanks a lot for having me. This is very exciting stuff.
You like the studio? You like our little
setup? Yeah, this is fancy. So. This is sweet. I mean, we could record this like in a garage with like a, I don't know, an iPhone mic or something if you wanted. I'm sure it would still be pure gold. But this is just frosting on the cake, I guess.
Do you ever, when you're in the locker room and reporters come up to you to do interviews, and do you ever see them with their phones like sticking around your face and you're kind of like, is he really recording?
Yeah. You're always like, am I live? You got to kind of watch yourself. But what I was wondering today is because the media does come in the locker room, you know, and it's a locker room, you know what I mean? Like it's functional and it's usually after practice. So I was wondering how many like B-roll, that's what it's called, right?
Yes, when they very just, good. Man, very good. Nice.
I'm a buzzword you guys all day. But I was wondering how much like B-roll footage you have of just naked guys in the background, you know?
We actually have our video editors in here in the studio off to our left. And it's probably a good question for them, but I'm sure they see
a
fair
hidden
share.
File somewhere of like thousands of terabytes.
No.
Those are the things that I think about during the day, I guess.
You got to use very tight shots in the locker room. So that's the key to it.
Now, is that a big difference going from college to NFL? Because college football, do they allow cameras? I feel
I'm not sure how they do it.
Yeah, in most places.
I think it definitely is. Because when you're in college, you know, you're not as mature, I guess. I don't know.
I wonder why. Jeez.
But I think
a bunch of 20-year-olds is hanging out together.
Yeah, they did a good job of protecting us. Like, I went to college in Wisconsin, and after games and stuff like that, there was kind of a little grace period where you could cool off, which I thought was really nice. And then we'd go to a separate room to do our media interviews, which I kind of appreciated. But you had a little more time to gather yourself, I guess, because sometimes you get right off the field, whether it be practice or a game, and you've got people asking you questions that are leading questions, I guess, like they want a certain answer, and you're like, well, how am I going to respond? But it's a little different in college, I guess.
And you're emotional, too. I mean, football's
an emotional game.
We
take it seriously, obviously. This is our job, and it's hard to be, like, well-spoken after, like, you give up a touchdown or something like that. So it's a double-edged sword, though, because you can either make yourself look really good or really bad. Like, I'm obviously a media darling, so.
Of course.
I have no problem.
That's why you're on the podcast right now.
I always say, like, I have a face for radio, you know? Even though I did just do a television commercial, so.
Oh, we have seen it.
We're going to get there.
Oh, yes. All right. Well, I'll just let that come up naturally.
I'll go into it. What's so great about Philadelphia is that you could be a defensive lineman.
Yeah,
you know,
a backup. Like, I know you're thinking, like, a backup defensive lineman. You could just say that.
No, I was saying you're not. No, typically you would have, like, the quarterback, you know, like, star skill position player. Yeah. Someone would be, like, on the cover, like, Madden or something like that. No, defensive lineman gets to be in a television commercial.
Yeah, well, it's pretty fun. I mean, I didn't think that I would ever have an opportunity like that, but it kind of actually came about because Bob's is one of our big corporate sponsors. Mm-hmm. And so I did a video for them, like, a while back where I went to a Bob's Discount Furniture in near Philly and acted like it was my first day on the job, and it was pretty fun stuff. That was, like, I think a year ago during the off season. Anyway, I guess Bob really liked it, so then it just kind of evolved, and now I guess I had a commercial that was, like, on during the Olympics and stuff like that.
The first promo you did for them where it was your first day on the job. We've seen other people do that where it's like people might be recognized for who they are.
Selleck actually did one with Wawa that was really funny.
Did anybody recognize you?
There was actually some dude that recognized me, and I was shocked because I was not expecting that. But then one lady was like, "You're so big. Like, did you play football ever?" I was like, "Sometimes." Like, I got caught real off guard by that.
Talk about filming the commercial. What was it like doing it?
We just went out to their, like, Bob's headquarters, I guess, is in, like, Connecticut, and it didn't really take that long. Like, I was only there for, like, 4 hours maybe, and I think it only took, like, 10 takes or so. And then, like, we kind of messed around and did some other stuff just in case. I mean, it turned out great. My mom was, like, really thrilled about it, too. Like, you'd think that she'd be excited about playing football and stuff like that, but it was a big deal for her.
So, the scene at the end where you guys do the jersey exchange.
Yeah.
Was that something that was originally in the commercial, or was that something like...
I think they had that beforehand, and they wanted a guy from the Eagles that was, like, really big. Because that was actually, like, a medium-sized shirt. It was literally the shirt that he was wearing. It was so tight around my arms that my arms were, like, turning, like, blue, kind of. I felt, like, pumped up. So, like, I felt like, I was like, man, my arms are huge right now.
Did you try to break the shirt?
Yeah, how'd you get out of it?
I probably could have. I managed to, like, weasel out of it, but it could have gotten real ugly where they had to, like, bring in some scissors and, like, cut me out of it.
Now, how many belly shirts do you have?
Well, actually, like, exclusively belly shirts.
Exclusively belly shirts.
Well, it's like when I get home, you know how, like, you have your comfortable clothes that you wear when you get home? Uh-huh. Yeah, so I just take off all my normal t-shirts and just put on belly shirts when I get home. You walk into, like, my closet, and it's huge, and just hanging up are all belly shirts of different, same exact shirt, just different color. So, if you're seeing me, like, at my house, I'm just wearing belly shirts.
Here's a question for you. How much American-themed clothing do you have?
It's a good one.
Because I remember it was Halloween a couple years ago. There was, like, an event at Children's Hospital.
Uh-huh.
You were dressed up, like, head-to-toe in American flag stuff, and I thought I heard that, like, that wasn't a costume. Like, that was just clothing that you had.
I ended up going to CHOP at kind of the last second. I was like, I gotta throw together costume, so I just put on all American flag apparel. The kids were like, well, what are you dressed up as? And I was like, panicking. I was like, I'm Captain America.
Didn't you see the movie?
Yeah, but that was actually an American flag onesie that I have. Yeah. Like, I actually have a ton of American t-shirts, headbands. Like, this summer I got, like, sweatbands, like, that go around your wrists, and then a headband, and we were playing yard games, like, up at my cabin in Wisconsin over the 4th of July. You know, the Olympics was a great showing for me as far as American flag apparel.
When did it start? Was it high school, college?
No, it started in college. You know they have, like, targeted ads on, like, the internet? I was, like, online doing something, and I saw it, like, an American flag shirt. I was like, yeah, I got to have that.
Right.
Yeah, that was a great targeted ad.
And then you click on it one time, and you get 40,000.
So now I have those targeted ads all over the place. I can't help myself, so I buy something every time. But no, so I bought...
It's better than other things you could have on there.
I bought an American flag shirt in college, like, probably my, like, sophomore year, maybe, and then, like, basically just looked for any excuse to wear it. I remember the first holiday after I got it was St. Patrick's Day. And so, like, everyone's wearing green, you know, and I was wearing an American flag shirt, and it was a huge hit. I mean,
not like anyone's gonna say anything otherwise.
Right, who's gonna say?
I mean, you can't really, like, not appreciate an American flag shirt, I feel like. it kind of goes with everything. I wore it a lot in college, like at least like 2 times a month. So it just kind of escalated from there, I guess.
So you grew up in Minnesota?
Correct, yep.
What was life like growing up out there?
I think Minnesota gets a bad rap. The instant association is just cold and snow and stuff like that. But it's actually like really beautiful in the summer. There's tons of lakes. The thing about Minnesota is like here in Philadelphia, or I guess on the East Coast, in the summer, when the weather gets nice, the big thing is to go to the shore. Mm-hmm. In Minnesota and Wisconsin and the Midwest, I guess, people go to like their cabins, or like they go on lakes on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big fan. I mentioned earlier that I have a cabin in Northwest Wisconsin. So we went up there a ton growing up. But yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I guess what I'm trying to say is Minnesota gets a bad rap for being cold, but it's actually
nice.
It's awesome.
The coldest games I've ever attended, though, were both in Minnesota. So playoff game,
too.
2008 season. And a couple of years ago, where as soon as you walked outside, it was like the wind chill was like below zero. You're just like,
yeah. My senior year at Wisconsin, we played at Minnesota, and like TCF Bank is
the outdoor stadium.
It's outdoors, yeah. And it was like 0 degrees without wind chill. And I'm like a tough guy, right? Obviously, so I didn't wear sleeves, and I wore a belly shirt too. Obviously,
oh yeah, that's assumed at this point. Okay,
and it was such a mistake. I'm a defensive lineman, so I'm in my stance and my hands are frozen numb, and I'm like trying to get in my stance. I'm just like battering people with these club hands that don't work. They were like feeding us chicken broth on the sidelines and stuff. It does get cold, but I was really tough about it too. I didn't say anything to anybody until now. So
until after the game when you're like, where's the shower?
I mean, that was miserable, man. It was like one of those games too where everyone was hurt, but I mean, we ended up winning the Axe, so it turned out all right.
So when did you first get into football?
I actually didn't start playing football until 7th grade. So like I said earlier, I have a cabin. So we would always go up to my cabin in the summer for like the duration of the summer. So as soon as school got out, we just go up there and then live up there. And football is like a summer and fall sport. So I didn't play. And then basically I had an uncle that played football at Wisconsin, and he's like, you got to play football, man. Like, what are you doing? And so I ended up playing in 7th grade, and I guess it worked out for me.
Were you like back then one of the biggest kids? I mean, was it like?
Yeah, I've always been big. So I started playing football in 7th grade, and then 8th grade, my like first ever football practice, they like weigh you in because they have like black stripes, we called it in Minnesota, where you can't carry the football if you weigh over like a certain weight.
Okay.
They're like weighing everybody, and there are dudes that are like wrestlers, like cutting weight so they can be like a running back. And they're like, all right, Bo, like how much do you think you weigh? And I was like, I don't know, probably like 200 pounds maybe. And like, why don't you just hop on there? We'll see. Because I haven't weighed myself in a while, right? And I like get on the scale and I weighed 242 pounds in like 7th grade. I was just like, oh, brother. And I'll never forget that. It was a pretty embarrassing moment for me, but funny though. Like,
so your hopes of being a running back were kind of dashed right there.
Dashed.
Just, yeah. That's brutal. That's tough.
Yeah, it was a tough pill for me to swallow.
Still bitter to this day. That's why he takes it out running backs each and every week.
I know it's a cliched question, but since you're from Minnesota, did you play hockey?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I played hockey all the time. Like, I think I started, I don't know, like at a very young age. I played up until my sophomore year of high school. My dad actually still plays hockey. He's like 60 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's 56, actually. Sorry. Oh, yeah. But
round up a little.
He plays hockey. Yeah.
He's illicit to speak.
Yeah. He plays hockey once a week. It's funny because my mom calls it geezers with breezers. Yeah, but it's the best part of his week. Because in the winter, they play pond hockey.
Yeah.
So, which isn't really a thing out here, but basically you just play hockey on a frozen pond. Like, it's pretty self-explanatory. So when I was home in the offseason, I played with them. They're pretty good now. So that's a good workout, and it's fun to play. Hockey's a great sport. So I made it out to a couple Flyers games since I've been out here. It's pretty fun.
So you were also in a band.
Cool. Yeah. Yep. I was in a band. We were called The Unzipped.
The Unzipped.
Yeah. But yeah, I played the bass. We won the talent show in 7th and 8th grade at Minnetonka Middle School West.
Wow.
What song did you play? Or was it an original?
We played a lot of songs. We were mostly cover band, but we played like Dazed and Confused by Led Zeppelin.
Who played the guitar solo on that one?
My friend Scott Fredrickson, yeah. He was killing it. We played a lot of like Van Halen, Guns N' Roses. I think we played like Hot for Teacher by Van Halen.
During a middle school talent show.
Exactly. Yeah. On the teacher's over.
What else did we play? We played a lot of like The Strokes. It was a good time.
When did the band sadly break up?
The band broke up in my freshman year of high school, because I actually ended up playing on the varsity football team. I had no time, so they replaced me immediately. Mm-hmm. We were joking because Jason Kelsey, our center, he like plays the guitar and he's got a good voice. Like, we do a lot of karaoke, and so we were thinking of maybe starting a band. But we actually ended up starting a rock band where we bought the game Rock Band for Xbox and played it a lot, like during OTAs during the spring. So it was me, Kels, and like another rotating cast of like basically Eagles players.
Can you say, giving a specific name, who was the worst Rock Band player inside the locker room?
Yeah, I think his name was Bo Allen. I'm not good at Rock Band, especially the singing part. But like Taylor Hart was good. The drumming is really hard too. Mm-hmm. I did the bass, which is like the easiest thing. It's just like,
and you know how to really play.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, so I'm not very good at Rock Band.
Was this inside the locker room? In the
lounge? No, we did it over at my place. We would like go to OTAs. After OTAs, we'd be just like, hey, you guys want to come over and play Rock Band? I'd be like, yup. And then we would just jam out, I guess.
So from the band, how did you end up at Wisconsin?
I have a lot of family that lives in Wisconsin. My mom is from Janesville, Wisconsin, which is south of Madison, kind of close to like Illinois. So I have a couple uncles that played football. My grandpa was an All-American swimmer at Wisconsin. My uncle played football there in like the 80s, so I was kind of...
So you have the family ties to it.
Yeah,
so.
I had like a lot of family ties. We always went to games growing up, and both my parents went to Wisconsin too, so I was leaning there early.
Were other schools in the mix? Did it,
yeah, well, I think...
schools come to you, or...
You know how it is with recruiting. When you're like a high school...
I don't, I'm a writer.
Well, when you're
I'm asking
school,
a question, so...
Senior, and you get all these scholarship offers, it's nice to like feel wanted. It's important to do your due diligence and at least check out school. So I took official visits to like Minnesota, Wisconsin. I went to Notre Dame. Stanford was in the mix there for a while, but just Wisconsin felt really nice. It was 4 hours from where I grew up in Minnetonka, Minnesota, and then... So it's like just far enough away, but it's close too. Yep. So if you got to run back home for a weekend or whatever, you can. But yeah, I mean, it just felt like a natural fit. And it's funny because now my little sister actually is just graduating high school. She's going to be a freshman and she chose to go to Wisconsin as well.
Really?
Yeah. So I corrupted her.
Any advice for her?
Just go to class. When you get that kind of freedom, you know, as like a college freshman, you're like, wow, like I can just not go to class if I want to, you know? Just go to class, Grace, and just like study and stuff.
What do you miss most about your college days?
See, college is weird because it's the locker room is a little different in college because it's a bigger locker room. And so we have like 53 guys on our roster in season, and I think they have like 120. So there's a lot more like interesting characters in college that it's fun to reminisce about. Because when I went back to Madison this summer, like a couple of my buddies are GAs on the football team there. And like one of my buddies that I was staying with is a strength coach. And so we were just talking about like guys that we used to play with, and I think it's fun to just go back there and reminisce.
Did you cross paths with JJ Watt at Wisconsin?
Yeah, I was a freshman and he was like a redshirt junior, I think, like the last year before he left. We played D-line together, and then I played with his brothers too. So he has younger brother Derek that just got drafted the Chargers, and then another younger brother still there. I think he's a senior, TJ.
Is it funny seeing him become one of like the faces of the league?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see him and stuff like that. We played the Texans my rookie year, so it was fun talking to him, and he's a beast. He's been playing really, really well. Proud of the fact that we played together, and he came from Wisconsin. He's a good dude, too, so that's always a plus.
So you have a bunch of characters on the defensive line.
Yeah, we really do. We do.
How much fun is it playing in this new scheme and with the group of guys?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. And we've all kind of been together for a while, which is fun, too, because we're a tight-knit group. And I think when you play with each other and you have that kind of chemistry and camaraderie and stuff like that, and when you know each other well, I think that goes a long way. On the field, you can anticipate what a guy's going to do. You know his playing style. And then off the field, too, it's just fun to be around your boys and hanging out with dudes you like, because we spend a lot of time together. Yeah. So
most memorable moment as an Eagle so far?
So I got drafted in the 7th round, and when you're a rookie, when you first get in, like, your head is spinning, and that rookie year is really long, and that rookie camp especially is a grind because you don't know what's going on, and you feel like out of the loop almost, like, because all these guys that have been in the league know what they're doing and they know what to expect, and you're like trying to keep your head above water. So when I got that call that I made the 53-man roster as a rookie, that's something that'll stick with you. And then, you know, a week later or whatever, running out of the tunnel for the first, that's really cliche, but it's pretty satisfying.
My last question for you is this, Bo. What's it been like playing for Jim Schwartz?
Yeah.
We hear he makes a lot of historical references. Yeah. We see how animated he is on the field.
Uh-huh.
What's he like as a coach behind the scenes?
Yeah, he's a smart guy. So I'll just start with that.
Georgetown education.
So. Yeah, yeah. Actually, my brother brought that up to me today because my brother went to Georgetown. But yeah, a smart guy. And when we have our defensive meetings, it's nice to, he's just in such control of the defense. So he's a smart guy, and he's got a lot of great catchphrases that I won't really repeat on the air. But like, he's the kind of coach that you really want to play for as a player, and he'll get you fired up, and he knows kind of when to get on you about certain things. And he's hard on guys, obviously, because it's important to him. It's important to all of us. But he also knows how to kind of bring a group together, which I think is one thing that people don't really talk about, but I think it goes a long way when you have a tight group on defense, that when like things get tough and you look around, you know, you're with your boys and stuff like that. I think that kind of goes a long way too. He's just a great coach.
Well, Bo, that'll do it for us. Thank you very much for joining us here.
Guys, thanks for having me.
On the Eagles Insider podcast. Great stuff there from Bo. It's interesting because it wasn't one theme that we really touched on. It was just shooting a breeze with Bo Allen.
It's funny because when we kind of game plan, what do we want to talk about with this guy? And there's normally, you know, there's a theme. There's one like central topic that we want to hit on. And we'll touch on other stuff as well. But normally there's one way to go. And with Bo Allen, it was just like, let's just see what happens. You know, we'll start about talking about his childhood in Minnesota. We'll see where it goes. He just brings that energy. He's an easy conversation to have. Kind of an unheralded guy on this team like we've talked about. But I really hope that interview kind of brings to light to the fans out there just what kind of person he is.
Certainly. The defensive line group as a whole. A lot of fun guys on that group.
Oh, yeah.
With Fletcher and Benny, Vinny, Brandon Graham. Great bunch of guys to be around. So they're going to wreak havoc on the field in Jim Schwartz's scheme, but we're going to enjoy them in the locker room. And that's one of the things I like going into the season about this team. I just feel like I like the chemistry that's in the locker room.
Yeah, absolutely. And the defensive line, I think, in particular. Like, I mean, you mentioned it, but these guys have played together for years now. Talking to Benny Logan earlier today for an in-studio interview, and he's really played with the same guys around him going into his fourth season now. And that's really helped him along the way, going back from scheme to scheme and taking on some different responsibilities. But these guys are with each other every day. They know each other's personalities. It's a really fun group. And not only is it just a fun group, it could be a really, really good group.
Yes.
It's a very talented group, obviously, but they've been wreaking some havoc here in the preseason. So it could be a lot of fun.
So here on the Eagles Insider podcast, we get the interview with a player, learn more about him. And then we bring in someone who has touched that person's life, made a significant impact. And for Bo, we want to bring in his mother, Susie. And we had a chance to catch up with Susie as we heard about Grace, Bo's sister, in the interview. Well, Susie was getting ready to take Grace off to Wisconsin. So before they hit the road, Susie was kind enough to join us for a few minutes to touch on an interesting anecdote about Bo from his early, early, early childhood, as well as the significance of Bo's long hair. So here's our interview with Bo's mom, Susie Allen. Susie, the first question I have, and it might be the most important one, is how did Bo get his tremendous hair? Which side of the family is that from?
You know, that is interesting. I am partial to the gingers. I cannot lie. Bo's father, my husband, is a red-headed ginger. Really thick red hair. So that is where he gets it.
When did he start really growing it out?
He grew it out in college, and he started it because he talked to me and my husband. We're pretty conservative Midwestern people, and he said, "Mom and Dad, I want to grow out my hair long, and here's the reason why." And he did it because I'm a breast cancer survivor, and so he kind of always wanted to draw attention to that cause, which is near and dear to our heart, obviously. And now we're like, okay, Bo, when are we donating hair? When's it happening? So we keep asking, so we're waiting for one of these days when he picks one of the places that he believes is reputable and will donate his hair for charity.
So what was your reaction when he said that he wanted to grow it out to honor you?
You never know how it affects a kid. When this happened, Bo was in middle school when I was ill. And my husband and I were just always real honest with our kids. We have three kids. Our oldest, Jack, lives in New York City, and our youngest, Grace, were actually taken to college today at University of Wisconsin.
Congratulations.
And thank you. Middle school is a pretty tough age, but the boys seem to handle it pretty well. And then years later, you think, well, that was just a blip in our life, and we've got this great life, and I survived, obviously. And then when the kid talks about what a profound impact that time of his life was, where my husband and I were just kind of scrambling because I was pretty ill. So, yeah, it's very endearing.
The NFL has Breast Cancer Awareness Month during October, and I remember that Bo wore a pink bow in his hair one game as well. Did he tell you he was going to do that?
I was actually with him, and he's like, Mom, You know, I didn't quite know what he was going to do. We always go by the adage, less is more. You know, I said, why not get a nice braid? And he loves those women that work in the office at the Eagles. And they take such great care of him. And I think one of them braided it and put the bow on the end, and that was it.
We'll have to bring that up another time on the podcast. That'll be a good follow-up interview.
Who braided Bo's hair that day?
Exactly. Do you think that time, when you were battling breast cancer and he was young and admiring you, do you think that gave him or taught him the strength that he needed to persevere and develop into the player and person he is today?
I think you're right, Chris. I'm pretty sure. Again, I am an RN. I'm a registered nurse. And my husband is a businessman. He's a sales guy. And we've been married 31 years. And we're always really positive, optimistic people. And life is not fair. And you just kind of battle through it and you go with what you got and try to make it better. And you have to choose to be happy. I mean, you kind of believe that. And you've just got to have a good attitude and just go for it. No woulda, shoulda, coulda. That's what else we've taught our kids.
Changing subjects a little bit here. When we had Bo in, we asked him about his music skills and the band that he had. Can you give an honest review of the Unzips, or are you too biased as a mother?
Oh my gosh. I haven't heard them play for years, but I'll tell you, he's still best buddies with those guys. It was a lot of youthful enthusiasm with a lot of Guns N' Roses and a Velvet Revolver influence.
I like that review. It's like Rolling Stone-esque right
That's
there.
Good.
Oh, he had that long, not like it is now, but that shaggy middle school hair. I don't know if you guys have seen a picture, but
I've seen it, yes.
Yeah, yep. Have you guys heard about Bo's birth? Have you heard this famous story?
No, nope.
Oh, okay. This is a famous Bo Allen story. Bo was an 8-pound preemie.
Preemie.
He was premature. He was 5.5 weeks early.
Wow.
Bo's only brother, you know, they're only 13 months apart. And we had just gotten him to bed, and I was laying in bed, exhausted, of course, pregnant with the monster that is Bo. And I got a huge kick, and my water broke. Bo had kicked me so hard that broke my water, and we had Bo, 8-pound preemie. And I was not diabetic, and neither was Bo, and there were no dates were on. Doctor said Bo would have been like 13 pounds at birth, so I was very thankful. And then Bo had some normal preemie problems. He was in the level 2 nursery having some struggles. And my husband and I were standing over him, looking through the glass, quite concerned. He was next to these little 2-pound babies. And some gentleman comes up and he's looking at Bo. He's looking at these little babies next to him. And he goes, what's that fat thing doing in here?
Jeez.
I burst into tears. I said, that's my baby and he's a preemie too. So, yeah. So that is the story of Bo.
Susie,
he wanted some more food is what we were thinking. The amniotic was not doing it for him.
Susie, forget about the fact that he's an integral part of this team in Philadelphia, that he would ever become a television commercial star like he has.
Oh my gosh, do we love Bob's Discount Furniture. What a great, great product. Oh my gosh. Bo has always been a very charismatic man. He has never shied from the camera. He's not a cocky guy, but he's personality plus, as I'm sure you guys are aware. And he always has been.
Absolutely.
So, no, I am not surprised.
Susie Allen, the mother of one Bo Allen, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on the Eagles Insider Podcast.
Thanks, Susie.
Thanks so much, you guys. Have a great day.
Our producer, Ricky, behind the glass, just made a great point.
We now know Bo.
We now know Bo. Exactly. The great Nike commercial campaign from way back when.
That might have even been before my time, C-Mac. You might be dating me a little bit here.
My apologies on that one.
It's okay.
Fun interview with Susie, and I guess you could see where Bo gets his zest for life from.
Absolutely. Just a really fun interview. I wish we could have done a whole podcast kind of with Bo's mom because she was that entertaining. Not only just a fun person, but hearing what she overcame and how Bo and the rest of the family kind of joined together and rallied together and took a tough time and made something good out of it. And that's kind of, I think, a recurring theme that we've heard on a few of these podcasts. But just a really fun interview all around. And now we know Bo.
It's funny because when I first called Susie up, she was like, oh, I'd hope you'd forgotten. Because I said, oh, you know, it's Chris from the Eagles. Uh-huh. I said, I don't know, Bo gave you a heads up. And I'm thinking, she's probably thinking, why is someone from the Eagles calling me? Right. Is something wrong with Bo? You know, right. So I was quickly trying to like make it known. It's like, Bo's great. Everything's fine with him. Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure of that. And she was like, yeah, Bo gave me a heads up. And I was kind of hoping.
I never would have guessed that because I thought
exactly. That's the thing. Exactly. Yeah. You wouldn't have known that. So a special thanks to Susie and Bo Allen. A special thanks to our man, Ricky Hsu, behind the glass for producing this, making this happen, along with Brian Thomas. And I think that's going to do it for us here on the Eagles Insider Podcast. Next week's episode featuring wide receiver Jordan Matthews.
Ooh.
Fun interview. Very much looking forward to dropping that on everyone. Again, make sure to rate and comment wherever you consume our podcast. Everyone, thanks for listening, and we will be back next week on another edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. Yeah.